Zach Gelb can be heard nationally on the Infinity Sports Network all across America. And he comes to us today and every Wednesday from the WFAN studios in New York City. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And today's National Hot Dog Day. Where is your glizzy, Gelb? Because I'm sure outside the FAN studios, they happen to have a plethora of dirty water hot dogs to choose from.
Yeah, I'm protesting National Hot Dog Day. I am not participating this year, so no hot dog for me.
I don't understand. How on earth could you protest National Hot Dog Day? And why would you disappoint us again not showing up with a hot dog? Didn't he do this to us once before where he got one hot dog?
Yeah. But he got it from a deli.
No, I got one. It wasn't a dirty water dog. Yeah, I got it from a deli because I didn't want to be like get diseases and all these things.
You're on the phone. Can't you just walk downstairs and get a dirty water hot dog while we're doing this?
I'm not doing it. I was at Margate. I had too much veal chop. I had too much pork chops. I had too much steak. I was like eating like a pig last week. I'm now going to a bachelor party tomorrow morning. So I'm not wasting the calories. And I know that's going to sound lame on a hot dog. Just not doing it.
Was that a veal parmesan that you sent me the picture of? Or was that a chicken parm?
That was bone-in veal parm from Chef Ola's. Unbelievable.
That looked good. That was one of the best-looking meals I've seen in a long time.
Hey, Gail, get some microgreens. Yeah. It keeps you skinny. Microgreens.
Yeah, do you macro?
What I do is I don't do any of these drugs or any of this Fugazi stuff. I go to the gym. I work out for an hour on the elliptical. I lift some weights, and I eat a lot of, I have a lot of protein shakes, perfect peanut butter bars, and a lot of different variations of chicken sausage.
Solana, tell him how to count his macros.
Get him, Solana.
Go ahead, Solana. Tell him.
They make fun of me, Gelb, because I don't want to be fat. So I make sure I'm in a caloric deficit, and they think that's funny. I don't know why.
Well, but tell them how to count macros. Tell them how to count macros.
I'm sure he knows if he wants to count macros. It's not a hard thing to do. You just have to count the amount of calories you put into your body. That's it. Not crazy.
Yeah, I don't do any of these numbers or science. I just eat healthier and move more, and I've seen a lot of good results.
Solana, yesterday when you told us you count macros, that's just counting calories?
Calories, the amount of protein, grams of protein going in your body.
I thought it was something that I didn't know about. So instead of saying I count calories, which women have been saying since the 70s with Weight Watchers, you say I count macros because it's.
You know what,
cooler?
Solana? This is going to be a plot twist. I'm defending Solana. Solana, your name's on the show. Put your cojones on the table and tell these two guys you're in the best shape in this show. So tell Hockman to go eat another deep dish pizza and tell Crowder to go shut the bleep up.
He doesn't have any room to put his cojones on the table because all his macros are there.
It's not even a question, Kelb. It's not even worth. It's not a battle worth fighting with these guys. I mean, Crowder's teeth are literally falling out of his mouth, and Hawk thinks that the Aperol Spritz is a new drink. I mean, his mind is going.
It's actually, a health drink. I actually count Aperol Spritz.
And the idea that I don't want to get fat is funny to these guys. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, just make sure your eggs are omega-3 and cage-free, and then you'll never gain weight.
By the way, microgreens, Gelb, great source of fiber if you need any help in the fiber realm.
I can't believe that counting macros is just counting calories, which Richard Simmons started in 1977. Why are you all counting macros?
Because it's a more defined science. Like, you're counting the amount of grams you're putting into your body. You're counting the amount of fat grams you're putting into your body. Protein.
You're any housewife in Highland Park, Illinois, growing up in 1976, counting your calories with your little notebook.
Macros,
you know what? This shows you how long I've been doing this show. Because when I first started, I was a fat slob. Solana probably wasn't in the best shape. Now he's in the best shape on the show. And you two porky guys in Hockman and Crowder now somehow allowed Solana's name on the show and allowed him to be in the best shape. So we've come a long way
good,
in three,
I'll
4 years.
You look good,
thank
man.
You. You look fit. Thank you.
Look fit.
Have you seen his calves? Have you seen his calves? I mean, Zach Gelb.
I got the best calves in radio.
Crazy. Crazy.
Solana's built like a vice principal, though, Gail. Don't give him too much credit.
That's true. You do look like a vice principal. You look like the guy who stands right behind Joe Clark, just in case things get a little out of control for himself.
Solana, once again, the honeymoon is over. Your name's on the show. You don't got to kiss up to these two bullies anymore. Kick their ass now. Fight. Let's go. Entertainment.
I'll go macro at my head.
Let me go get some popcorn with a lot of butter and get fat again and watch this fight. Come on.
I got my fiber coming at 7:14 this morning.
Now, hold on. I remember you two clowns when you guys used to eat seaweed on this show. So let's not act like you guys don't do crazy things.
Nothing as delicious and crunchy as
packing seaweed in your mouth.
I say, hey, I'm eating a hot dog. I'm eating a seaweed. He goes, I'm counting macros, but I just found out that that's the Richard Simmons show from 1976.
It's just what it's called, Hawk.
It's a cutesy name.
I didn't come up with any name.
Counting calories.
And by the way, Gelb, the funniest part about all this is that old assfoot Channing Crowder over here has done every single fad diet ever known to man. This guy watched a vegan documentary on Netflix, and the next day he let his wife convince him he had to go vegan, and then was sneaking chicken wings behind her back for years. this phony.
Hey,
now, big question here. Big question here. When you have those chicken wings, do you dip them in ranch or blue cheese?
Oh, blue cheese.
Thank you. Yeah. You're a normal
man. He's a man.
Man, yeah. It's ranch. These ranch people. That's the Generation X.
You know how many macros are in that blue cheese? No, of course you don't, because you're a man.
I forget the name of the character. Jeannie Sachs, I think her name was, in The Sopranos. Remember when she's sneaking those candy bars in the basement past
one
her husband?
The characters.
That's basically Channing. With the chicken wings.
Lana did not like the swing-off last night at the end of the All-Star game. I loved it. I thought it was revelatory. I thought it was fun. Solana hated it. I loved it. What did you think?
I thought it was awesome. And honestly, with how already the extra innings are Fugazi in the regular season with the ghost runner on second, if after two innings we don't have a winner, I would go to a swing-off after two extra innings in the regular season. That's what I would do. I thought it was wonderful.
And do they need to fix baseball? Because one thing we're arguing, you know, in jest about it was like baseball is a perfect game, but this swing off takes too long. Like, how do they fix baseball? Because obviously the viewership is down. We're doing top 100 lists in the summer. How do you fix baseball?
Their biggest problem is they can't market their stars. Like, even last night, outside of Clayton Kershaw, they interview all these guys during the game, and they're absolutely boring. So I appreciate the competitive nature while they're still competing in the game. They don't really want to talk to the media, but we have to do a better job in marketing the stars. Like, look how great Mike Trout was. If Mike Trout was walking down the street trying to get a glizzy, counting his macros and probably avoiding that in New York City, no one would even know if he stopped at a glizzy stand, if we're just being honest. They don't market the stars well enough. So speed up the pace of game. I'm not a big fan of Rob Manfred. They did that. With the pitch clock, this automatic ball strike system, I think, is good for reviews, which is only initiated by the pitcher, the catcher, or the batter. So they make some small changes, but ultimately I think it's an attention span issue because of how long and slow baseball could be. And I say this as someone that has a partial season ticket plan for the Mets, but there are times when you're watching a baseball game that you just get bored and you want to get up and walk around the stadium and be like Hawk and just basically go to all the food stands and eat all the foods and basically
be an
Instagram
person. That's why
I love
going to baseball games.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's okay to actually walk away during the action. No other sport. I want to ask you something quick because I want to talk about that top 100 list that Crowder mentioned there. But real quick, Panthers will open the season, the NHL season, on a Tuesday at 5 p.m. NHL released the schedule. There's going to be a tripleheader on ESPN that night.
They're playing the Devils?
No, Blackhawks.
Okay, Blackhawks. I saw something about the Devils saying we don't like any rats in New Jersey, and it was something with the Panthers on social media. So I don't know if that was their home opener.
Did the Panthers get done dirty by the league by having their banner raising at like a 4:30 Tuesday afternoon to get the puck drop in by 5 p.m.? There's a triple header. Should the Panthers have gotten the 8 p.m. game? And why did they get the 5 p.m. game? Did they get done dirty?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to cater all those old people in Florida and get them in for the early bird special. That would be my only guess, but that is lame. You just won the Stanley Cup. You're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. You're on the verge with one more Stanley Cup victory of becoming a dynasty. You should get primetime treatment. Is that right? 5 o'clock?
5 p.m. They open the season. It's the opening game. It's a triple. There's only three games that Tuesday night. It's a triple header.
That's lame.
But the Panthers get the first game starting at 5 p.m.
Yeah, that's lame. I don't like that.
It's a little odd, isn't it? A little odd. All right, so we talked about yesterday ad nauseum the top 100 list on Bleacher Report, and I know you've seen it. Mm-hmm. The top three are MJ, LeBron, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So let's start there. Do you agree with the top three?
Yeah, I have no problem. 1, 2, and 3. If you go MJ, 1, LeBron, 2, and Kareem in at number 3. I think that's most people's top three.
And could you honestly, Gail, because you do sports, you love sports, you talk about it nationally. Can you really confidently talk about Bob Cousy and Bill Russell? Because I see their stats, but the game is so different. I was joking yesterday with Jim Larranaga that Bill Russell was playing against damn Walgreens workers. Like, can you really go era to era and say a guy that played in the 70s is better than this guy that played in the 2020s?
So it's difficult, and here is why. Because on this list that was sent to me, Kobe was in at 11. Like, if you would have told me, if you would have just asked me the statement, is Kobe Bryant the 11th best basketball player of all time, I would say too low. And then you see the names in front of him. Now, I could disagree with some of the names that are in front of him, and I still think he should be in the top 10. But it's not like any of the names that are in front of him are absolutely egregious. But I do think Kobe was too low, by the way, at 11.
So who would you take off then?
Give me the list, 1 through 10 again.
Yeah,
I have it. 1 through 10 is MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Magic Johnson, Bill Russell, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Steph Curry.
Oh, boy. See, like, that's how tough it is. I would say I'd rather have Kobe over Steph. I'd rather have Kobe over Wilt. And that's probably, would you rather have Kobe or Shaq?
Jim Larranaga said yesterday, was it Larranaga who said yesterday, or was it, who else do we have on?
I think
yesterday?
It was Larranaga, but I'd take Kobe over Shaq.
Okay, so there, if you agree, now the dominance of Shaq just at his position was almost unstoppable. Now, afterwards, and I know Shaq was older, Shaq won one championship, Kobe ended up winning two more. Shaq had Dwayne Wade, Kobe had Pau Gasol, and Ron Artest. So, yeah, I don't think it's crazy to say that you'd rather have. Well, that was, I hear the laughing. I mean, he thanked the psychiatrist after hitting that shot, remember?
He had a big time shot. Yeah, no, he did. He did.
And if Kendrick Perkins, it's crazy to say this now, if he didn't get hurt in that game 6, the Celtics probably win that series.
That was the famous line from Doc Rivers. This starting five has never been beat in a playoff series because KG was hurt the year before. And then Perk didn't play game 7.
Yeah. So I would say that Kobe's somewhere in the 7 to 9 kind of range of all time.
Is there any chance, in your opinion, that LeBron could overtake MJ as number 1 on your list of all-time NBA players?
No. It would have been an interesting conversation if he got to 5 championships because you're in striking distance, but I don't think he's getting another championship. I think Michael is considered the greatest basketball player of all time. Now, I hate these debates because I've done this and I've refused to take in phone calls on this anymore, because anytime you mention Michael, then LeBron people call up and they trash Michael, and then, you know, vice versa the other way as well. So it's weird that you have to knock the second greatest basketball player and talk about him like he's some bum at times with some people in order to praise Michael Jordan.
And you talk about like those bigs, the Shaqs and the Kareems and all. There's no more of those, right? Because if you're Giannis, you're 7 feet. You're Kevin Durant, you're 7 feet. You're learning how to shoot threes and dribble the ball now.
Wemby,
when you're
Wemby
a kid.
Too. Like Wemby 7'6". Like,
there's not another center that's going to jump into top 10 in basketball history or now in the future.
There could be one. Nikola Jokic.
Right.
Because if he already has 3 MVPs, he already has an NBA Finals and a NBA Finals MVP. If he gets another championship in Denver, because like you look at how we value, I know he's on the top 10 of all time, Dirk Nowitzki winning in Dallas. And we look at Nikola Jokic, like, look at what Joker has done. I would argue that I would already rather have the career of Nikola Jokic than Kevin Durant. And look how much longer KD has already played. So that, just starting the conversation there, Joker right now out of all the players in the league that, you know, that we aren't already talking about in the top 10. So AKA LeBron, he has the best, and Steph, he has the best chance to move into that top 10 moving forward in this next wave.
He's 17 right now on this list. It's funny because based on what he's done, career accolades, I get he doesn't belong in that echelon yet, but just overall style of play, ability.
Yeah.
Is he not the greatest big man? I mean, I know
this, I'm not this going there yet.
A crazy take.
In the history of the game?
I'm talking about he can bang down low with anybody in the league. He's
and he can pass
force.
Like he's an elite point guard.
He can pass like Magic Johnson. That's the thing that you never see from a big guy.
And he can shoot the threes. Not Steph Curry, but he shoots a very good percentage from three for his size. He can literally take over the game from the top of the key, brings it up like he's a point guard. We've never seen a player like that who also has a back-to-the-basket post-game like Shaquille O'Neal did. We've never seen that.
Yeah, and if you look at it right now and compare this to the NFL too, look how long Peyton Manning dominated the NFL and look how great of a career Kevin Durant has had. And I already think Mahomes has surpassed Peyton Manning in the NFL, and also Nikola Jokic has already surpassed the career of Kevin Durant in the NBA. It's wild, and that's not to say that as a slight of the other guys, but look at what Mahomes and Nikola Jokic have already accomplished, and I don't think it's a crazy thing to say.
Zach Gelb, Infinity Sports Networks, are going to a bachelor party. Where is it?
Going to Denver. This is kind of a low-key one. Recently, I've been to Barcelona. I've been to Puerto Rico for some bachelor parties. But going to Denver, so we will enjoy ourselves high in the mountains, go to Red Rocks, and do whatever they do in Denver.
The key word there, high in the mountains.
I thought that was just a slick way of saying it. If you want to call it out and go it that way, that's up to you. But a lot of Mad Dog Russo diet, if you get what I'm saying, this weekend.
Stoned in the mountains.
I have to ask this because I need to try to make a headline in this interview. Channing, Nick Saban, is he coming on back?
To college, to football?
Yeah, coaching football,
so.
College or the NFL?
I don't think he will. I don't think he can deal with the NIL and these new kids. I think the reason he left the first time is the reason he's not coming back.
So I don't think he's going to come back to college, but we were talking about this the other day, and we talked about what would be a good destination for Nick Saban. The Dolphins are actually a good destination a year from now. Who says you can't go home, guys?
Get out of here.
He loves Tua. Away. Him and Tua already have
Jaylen
a connection.
Waddle.
We got action, Hawk.
No, we would not. No, we don't have action. We would not welcome. We would not welcome him back.
Hawk, if they sign Nick Saban, I know what the lead is. I'm so fired up. You get one of the greatest coaches of all time. The Dolphins are going to the playoffs.
Not
Miami has the Dolphins. You would be singing it. You and Joe Rose holding hands, singing it.
That guy turned his back on this city in a cowardly fashion. Doesn't take anything away from his college coaching career. Maybe the greatest college coach to ever do it. But he turned his back on this place in a cowardly fashion. He's not welcome back here, and neither are you, Gelb.
Would you welcome back LeBron?
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Okay, so what's the difference?
I don't know. All right, Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network. We'll see you. Safe travels, buddy.
You got it, guys. Be well.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network on National Glizzy Day without a glizzy. Very disappointing from Zach Gelb there. All right, Crowder's going to tell you about a car dealer here once he finds the information.
I got it, baby.
In his photo, what did he call it yesterday?
Photo log.
Photo log. I got an iPhone with the photo log.
You got the photo log? All right.
Man. I got the macro log.
Yeah, it doesn't work as good as this one.
I think you might have a micro log.
You look like a log.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have a package of frozen corn dogs in my freezer right now as we speak.
I'm sorry to hear that.